I'd like for you to get your Bibles out. I do have a short message because we still have some more Mother's Day things to do afterwards. And so I would like for you to turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3. 1 Kings. 1 Kings is in your Bible. It's before the book of Psalms. But 1 Kings, chapter 3. Today is Mother's Day. I just want to say happy Mother's Day. And then as we get into this message, it is a Mother's Day message. I want you to look at chapter 3, and I want us to begin reading at verse 16 all the way through the end of the chapter. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 28, and it reads this way. I'm reading from the Modern English Version. It says, "And at that time, two women who were prostitutes came and stood before the king." This is King Solomon. "The first woman said, 'Oh my Lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I bore a child with her in the house. 3 days after I gave birth, she also had a child, and we were together. There was no one else with us in the house, only the two of us were in the house. Then this woman's child died during the night because she rolled over on it. She got up at midnight and took my son from beside me while your servant slept and laid him at her bosom and laid her dead child at my bosom. When I rose in the morning to feed my child, it was dead. But when I looked closely in the morning light, I recognized that it was not my son whom I bore. The other woman said, 'No, the living is my son and the dead is your son.' And she said, 'No, the dead is your son, and the living is my son.' Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king said, 'One says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead. And the other says, no, but your son is dead, and my son is the living.' So the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, 'Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other.' Then the woman whose child was living, or was the living one, spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son, and she said, 'O my Lord, give her the living child and do not kill it.' But the other said, 'Let it be neither mine nor yours, and divide it.' Then the king answered and said, 'Give her the living child and do not slay it. She is its mother.' All Israel heard of the king's judgment, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to execute sound judgment." And I want to speak with you just for a few minutes this morning on discerning between the true and the false. Discerning between the true and the false. Lord, I ask that this Mother's Day, Lord, that you would help me to relay your heart, not only to the mothers, but also to the children. I pray that, Lord, you would help me to relay your heart, Lord, only your heart. And I pray that, Lord Jesus, you would anoint the words. Let them not fall on deaf ears, but rather let it find fertile ground in the hearts of all these, your people. Bless your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen and amen. This portion of Scripture is really a very interesting portion, to be honest with you. Solomon has only recently become the king of Israel. He is, of course, David's son. He was the heir to the throne. And Solomon was a youth. He was not old. He was not an old adult at this time. He had not been living for many years and had been through many things. His hair wasn't hoary or white because of wisdom. He was a young man. But before he would begin to fully lead the people of Israel, God gave him the opportunity to choose anything that he wanted via a dream. God told him, "Solomon, you can ask for anything that you want, anything, and I'll give it to you." But Solomon, instead of asking for wealth and popularity, for asking for things for himself, he said, "Lord, give me a wise and an understanding heart." And God was pleased with his request. And of course, God would answer by giving Solomon wisdom. Solomon would be known to be the wisest man who ever lived. Other than Christ, no one would be his equal as far as wisdom is concerned. But if you were him and you were Solomon and all of a sudden you had to rule a large company of people like the children of Israel, I'm sure that you would have been a little hesitant or been a little bit scared of what you were supposed to do. I don't know about you, but I think I would have been that way. But God gave him wisdom. And so here in chapter 3 of 1 Kings, we find a situation that would arise that would demand a wise answer. And as we see in this account, there's two women, both of them being prostitutes. Both of them were pregnant. The first one gave birth to a young boy, a baby boy. A few days later, the second prostitute gave birth to another boy. But as we know from the story, the one that first bore the child was asleep, while the other one was also asleep. She rolled around. You see, they used to sleep with their children in those days. They didn't have nice, pretty cribs and nurseries in their houses. And so they would lay their child with them while they slept. And obviously, what happened, which was horrible, was the one lady, as she was asleep, probably was too sleepy and rolled over and smothered the child. Now, as awful as that is, I mean, you can only imagine, it's heartbreaking to a mother. But she began to connive and began to think, well, this other lady also had a child. They're only just a few days apart. I'll just do a switcheroo. Let me switch them up and I'll switch my dead baby with hers, and I'll keep the alive one because I do want to have a son. And so she switches them, and in the morning, as the other mother wakes up, she realizes that this child is dead. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure her heart broke. I mean, I'm sure initially she thought, wow, what did I do to my baby in the night? I mean, I smothered it. It's dead. But then the scripture says in verse 21, when I rose in the morning to feed my child, it was dead. But when I looked closely, in the morning light, I recognized that it was not my son whom I bore. You see, this mother, even in just the few days that she would feed her child and would change the baby, knew who her child was. She knew this little baby, even though an infant. I'm sure she knew its cry. She knew its sound. There's a sound that a baby makes that only a mother can feel. It's amazing to me how that a mother can have almost a sixth sense about their children, to where sometimes, even if they need the bathroom, they can feel it. But this mother looked at this dead baby and she takes notice, this isn't my baby. And so I'm sure that immediately she probably looked at the other woman who was feeding the other one and took notice and saw, look, that is my baby. Maybe there was a curl in the hair. Maybe there was a birthmark behind the ear. Maybe there was something, but she took notice and she knew, that is not my baby. This one that I'm holding right now, being dead, is not mine. That one that's living is mine. And so I'm sure that she said to that woman, give me back my baby. Here's your baby. But the other woman, the other mother, begins to say, I'm sure, that's not mine. This one is mine. And obviously an argument is happening. It becomes such a thing that they gain an audience to King Solomon. And Solomon, he has no understanding at all of what's going on. All he knows is these people are coming to him, and there's an argument right in front of him. One mother is saying, that's not my child, that one is. The other one is saying, this one is, that's not, and so on and so forth. And so King Solomon responds in a way that I think shocked them. For you see, one was saying, the dead one isn't mine, the living is mine. The other one is saying, no, the living one is mine, the dead one isn't mine. And so just going back and forth right in front of King Solomon, but God gave him wisdom. And so he said, well, get the sword. And so when they got the sword and they brought it to Solomon, and he told the person next to him to slice that child in half and give half to each one, they knew that the word of the king had authority. And when the king would tell his, whatever he was, his servant or whatever, to slice that child, that servant is going to obey the king. So this wasn't just something to move the emotions of the women. When Solomon said to do it, that was literally going to be done. And because of the seriousness of the situation, both mothers are standing there. The one that isn't the true mother is holding the living child. The one that is the real mother is holding a dead child. Well, I don't know if she's still holding it, but you all know what I mean. And so there they are, and now I'm sure that they've got this knife, this dagger, whatever they're going to use to slice the child. And all of a sudden, as Solomon is looking at these women, he sees the real mother moved with compassion. For she knows, that is my child, but I don't want him dead. And so she cries out and says, no, don't kill him. Let him live. Let him live. Even though it's not mine, let her keep it, but at least let it live. And Solomon discerned this whole scenario when he saw that the mother, the true mother, knew who her child was, and the yearning in her heart was for her child. And it moved her in such a way that she said, don't let him die. And Solomon knew exactly who the real mother was by the yearning heart of the mother. And so he said, give her, and I'm sure he pointed to the one that was yearning for that child to live. He said, give her the child, that's her son. And all of a sudden, everybody's left without breath. Can you imagine that scenario? If you were there, and this was your new king, and you're wondering, is he going to lead us? Is he going to be a wise man? And all of a sudden you see him react and do what he just did, and you knew this man has wisdom from God. And so this mother, who was the true mother, ended up with her son because she displayed the reality of what a true mother has. A true mother will always have a yearning for her child. They will know who their child is, and they will meet the needs of that child. Amen. Whenever we think about this and we think about Mother's Day was created, the originator of Mother's Day, the woman that started it, created it to be, not to be something that we go into the store and buy gifts for our mothers, and don't just hear what I'm saying here. You see, nowadays, just like Christmas, it's become commercialized. You know, the stores heap upon get the people to go and buy their product to give to mothers for Mother's Day. And of course, we want to give gifts to our mothers. Amen? Do you all hear what I'm saying? I'm not discrediting that. However, it's become commercialized. It's about a money-making thing. Stores can make a lot of money during Mother's Day. But the originator of Mother's Day didn't start it so much to buy gifts or people to gain, you know, capital or earn money from the day. It was really truly to be about acknowledging and remembering our mothers on Mother's Day. Our mothers want to hear our voice. They want to hear us give a phone call if we've not called for a season to let them know that we love them and that we care for our mothers. That's what Mother's Day is all about. And when I talk about discerning between the true and the false, when we think about our Heavenly Father above, believe it or not, He has attributes of a mother. God cares for you, and He will care for me. Remember, when God created man, He created man male and female in His image. What are you saying, Pastor James? God is not human. Remember that. He's not human. Now, don't misunderstand what I said. He became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. You all hear that? But God is Almighty God, and He is able to display even motherly attributes to you and to me. The Bible said when Jesus was heading into Jerusalem, He began to weep over the city. And He says, how often I would have gathered you under my wings as a mother hen gathers her chicks or her brood. Amen. The scriptures declare that God will comfort His people like a mother comforts her child. I'm telling you what, there is no comfort like a mother gives to her children. Amen. When that little child bumps their knee and they come in with their little crocodile tears, you know, because sometimes it's not always real, they just want you to hold them, right? But I mean, that motherly embrace, there's nothing like that. And God uses that as an example of how He will hold His own children. Amen. the mother's embrace. And yet the Bible even will declare that in the same way a woman cannot forget her nursing child, there's a very intimate thing that happens between that little infant child and the mother when they're nursing. I don't care if it's breastfeeding or with a bottle. There is an intimate, a closeness with that child and a bond that it's almost impossible, as the scripture will declare in Isaiah 49:15. It says, like a woman who cannot forget her nursing child, God will never forget his own children. Think about it. He even uses it in this way. She may even forget being human, but I will never forget you. And so when we think about Mother's Day, it's about our mothers and their embrace. I remember as a young boy, as a teenager, I remember when I'd come home from school and I would just love to sit on the freezer. I'd sit up on the freezer and I'd sit there and talk to my mom. You know, sometimes I don't even know if she's listening. No, I'm just messing. She's over here. But she'd be there cooking and doing whatever at the stove, and I'd just be there and just blathering away, you know, and talking about who knows what. You know, I remember, like I said earlier, I remember going through a very hard time, and who would I go to but to my mom, you know, to tell her this is what I'm experiencing, and she could only speak. But I'm telling you what, during Mother's Day, we need to remember how important it is to honor our mothers. Amen. How we treat our mothers says quite a bit. There was a young man who wanted to go to UCLA. And he wanted to go into UCLA on a basketball scholarship. And the gentleman that was interviewing this young man and was ready to give him a scholarship during the meeting had this happen. Listen to this. It says, once I interviewed a very talented young man who wanted to attend UCLA on a basketball scholarship. I was even prepared to offer him a scholarship during the meeting. His mother was there, and at one point she politely asked me a question. Her son immediately looked over at her and snapped, "How can you be so ignorant? Just keep your mouth shut and listen to what the coach says." I assured her that her question was fine, and I answered it. The young man, however, had revealed an aspect of himself that wasn't fine. In fact, it was unacceptable to me, disrespect for his mother. If he couldn't respect her, how could he possibly respect me when things got tough? I politely ended the meeting and excused myself. The scholarship was never offered. How we treat our mothers is very important. And this gentleman discerned something in this young man that needed to be dealt with before he could really be blessed. For the Bible says how we treat our own parents can have an effect. Amen? But as we think about this story, there is something very interesting to consider, and it is this. Is that sometimes we can begin to take our mothers for granted. Maybe we're full grown now and maybe we don't need our mother like we did when we were small. You know, we bump our knee and we're miles away and we can't appreciate her the same way. But I'm telling you what, she's thinking about you every day. Amen. She's wondering how you're faring. How are you doing? She's thinking about, is everything going well? She's just as much in love with you as when you were in her arms as a babe. There was another teenager one time that entered the kitchen one evening while his mother was preparing dinner. As the boy walked through the room, he placed a slip of paper on the counter. He then took a seat at the table and waited quietly. So picture in your mind, he walks through, he places a piece of paper on the counter, she's working, he puts it right there so she can see it. When she found a moment to pause from her meal preparation, mom dried her hands on her apron. She picked up the paper and read what her son had written, and it said this, "Cutting the grass, $10. Cleaning my room all week, $5. Running errands, $2. 2 hours of babysitting, $10. Taking out the garbage, $2. Maintaining good grades, $5. Total owed, $34. The boy studied his mother as she examined the bill. She said nothing but fished for a pen in her pocket that was in her apron. Mom turned the paper over and began to write. In a few moments, she stopped, placed the pen and paper on the counter, and continued preparing dinner. Curious, the boy walked over and picked up his bill and read what the mother had written. 9 months of pregnancy, no charge. Late night feedings, no charge. Diaper changes, no charge. Potty training, no charge. Bandaging scrapes and scratches, no charge. Bedtime stories, no charge. Doctor and dentist visits, no charge. Taxi service, no charge. Academic tutoring, no charge. Seasonal cheerleading, no charge. Hugs and encouragement, no charge. Etiquette training, no charge. Food procurement and meal preparation, no charge. Clothes, toys, etc., no charge. Total owed, no charge. When the boy looked up from the paper, his eyes were filling with tears. He took the pen from the counter and turned the paper over and hastily scribbled in it. He handed the paper to his mom, and she looked at it. Written across the bill were the words, "Paid in full." The boy hugged his mother and whispered, "I love you." While moms deserve appreciation much more than once a year, Mother's Day provides a special opportunity for children to say, "Thanks, Mom, I love you." There's nothing like our mothers, amen? They will lay down their lives for us. They will do sacrificial things for us. Listen to this one. And with this one, we'll close. It's a true story that was written and chronicled out of the concentration camps. Solomon Rosenberg, his wife, their two sons, along with his mother and father, were arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp, and the rules were simple. As long as you can do your work, you're permitted to live. When you become too weak to do your work, then you are exterminated. Rosenberg watched his mother and father marched off to their deaths. And he knew that next would be his youngest son, David, because David had always been frail as a young child. Kind of frail and sickly. Every evening, Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of labor and searched for the faces of his family. When he found them, they would huddle together, they'd embrace one another, and thank God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg came back and didn't see those familiar faces. He finally found his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, huddled, weeping, and praying. He said, "Josh, tell me it's not true." Joshua turned and said, "It's true, Papa. Today David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him." "But where's your mother?" asked Mr. Rosenberg. "Oh, Papa," he said, "when they came for David, he was afraid and he cried. Mama said, 'There's nothing to be afraid of, David,' and she took his hand and went with him." Whew. Can you imagine that? What an example of sacrificial love. There's nothing like the love that a mother has for her children. And this Mother's Day, if I can encourage you to do anything, is to just give a simple expression of love to your mother. I'm sure that not all of them were perfect. I know there's not a perfect one in the world. Only God is perfect. Amen. But they deserve our love. They deserve our appreciation. They deserve a little token of what only we can give on Mother's Day. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. You don't even have to stand. I want us to just say a prayer together, praying for our mothers and praying even for us to be able to express to our own mothers how much we truly love and appreciate them. For some of you, I'm sure you remember memories of your mother as she's gone on already. But even in your hearts, even express thankfulness to God for giving you the mother that you had. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. And on this Mother's Day, we acknowledge that, Lord, you were the one that allowed us to be born into the house that we were born into. And Lord, you've given us the mothers that we have because, Lord, you knew that they would be the best fit for us. Although imperfect, Lord, we thank you for our mothers. I know that for some of us, Lord, or for some, that, Lord, they never really had a true and loving mother, but they've had a loving grandmother. someone that they've called mother, even though their biological mother may have not been in the picture. But we do pray, Lord, that you would help us to express our love and appreciation for our mothers, whether they're alive or not, to acknowledge, Lord, before you, how thankful we are for all that you've allowed to be in our lives. Lord, let this Mother's Day be a blessed Mother's Day for our mothers, we do pray. And we pray that you'd extend a blessing upon each and every one. All of those that are here, bless them. For those, Lord God, that we will give phone calls to or take the time to drive to visit, Lord, however it may be, I pray that, Lord, that the communion, the conversation will be sweet and that, Lord, our mothers would truly hear our appreciation. Lord, for you love us with the heart of a mother. Lord, we love you back in the same way. And so we give you this time asking that you would bless the remainder of Mother's Day and our mothers. And as we finish off with these final things, we pray that you would be blessed and that all mothers would be blessed as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.